Welcome to the bio-digital age. There you go, Maurice, there's your overture.
Oh, I love the way you say that.
What's going on?
It's wonderful. So the bio-digital age is part of an article I wrote this week on a brand new generation that we're about to see in 7 months' time. Lots of us are familiar with the baby boomers, Gen X's, Y's, Z's. You know, we talk about all that stuff and the Generation Alphas who are around at the moment. And what we have, according to demographers, those people that do this kind of statistical work on generations, is that at the beginning of next year, 2025, we will begin to welcome in what will be called Gen Beta, Gen B.
Right.
And the Alphas will be put to bed.
So hang on, we're talking about boomers, and then obviously this is something that's sort of retroactive. Starts with boomers, then it goes X and etc. Then we better start again. Is that what it's all about?
Yeah, so what happens is with demography, with this study of population, is that there is this belief, and it's not 100%, but there's this belief that people are influenced by the same sorts of things that happen around them. The culture, the technology, the politics, the economy, everybody kind of relates to that in a different way, but they're all impacted by the same sorts of things. So it used to be about every 25 years and that we used to change generation, and we say, well, now there's a whole clump of people that have different, you know, stimuli, so we have to call them something else. In the last 30 years or so, we've dropped that down to every 15 years.
Okay, that makes
so
sense.
Every 15 years, and that's because there seems to be so much change around. People are influenced by such different things that about 15 years is the lifespan before you move into a whole new age of influence. And that's where you kind of get this 15-year gap. So the generations X's, Y's, Z's and A's were all roughly about 15 years apart.
Right.
And we have the next one coming up, which is Gen Beta. Now, to your other question, how do we get the name? We kind of ran out when we got to Z in the last lot, because demography really wasn't a sport, it wasn't a game, and as I said, it lasted 25 years or so, so your letters kind of would have lasted forever. When they began to speed it up, they ran out, so they went to the Greek alphabet, which is where Generation Alpha came from.
And we need to learn that, because coming up after Generation Beta, it gets a bit fiddly, doesn't it? Actually,
it's Gamma.
It's Gamma, yeah, which isn't to be confused with G.
No. So, yeah, so what we will then have, and that will be somewhere around 2040.
Morris, we'll move into Gamma. You realise a few years down the line, we've got the Generation Omicron. That's going to be a bit of a challenge for some people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But more importantly, than, you know, all of that demography and naming, is really, for me, because, you know, I love that kind of world, is trying to figure out what the Generation Betas, Generation Bs we'll call them, are going to live in. I mean, what's the world going to look like for them? Who are these people? What will be important to them? What will their education be? Where will they be living? How will they be eating? You know, all that kind of stuff is really fascinating, because we, as responsible humans right now, this very minute, we have to begin to build the planet that's right for them.
Now, this sounds like a quantum leap, but he's talking about it beginning next year.
The demographers say that next year, yes. So certainly the end of this year will be the cutoff of Gen A's, and people born on the 1st of January 2025 will be called Gen B's.
Right. So not much happening in the near future, but it does go up to 2039, and I wonder if we'll see a sort of paradigm shift or something.
Well, there will be. I mean, Generation Alphas are those that were born between 2010, 2024. They're the ones who are now coming into the school system, who are about to go into our workforce, you know, down the track somewhere, and all of that. But, you know, we talk about it being a long way off, but by 2050, 16% of the world will actually be Gen Bs.
Gosh.
Well, it's 2.4 billion people worldwide.
Yeah.
So, you know, 2050 is closer than the year 2000, almost. So we're talking about people that don't exist yet becoming very, very important into the world very soon. The other thing that fascinates me, and there are lots about this generation, is that this generation will likely live to 100 and beyond routinely. So their lifespan will be 100. That's what people will imagine they'll have at least on this earth. And they will also see the next century in. So
we
many
saw this
of
one.
Them,
I mean, our generation has lived through some pretty good things. And it's stupid, just a thing to say, but we have. And some bad things.
Oh, we have. It's been incredible. I mean, our generation has absolutely been through. I mean, whether that's a B, you know, whether that's a baby boomer, an X, a Y, a Z, or an A, each generation has seen the most extraordinary things. Even the builders, you know, if you want to, you know, we're getting confused by our terms, but the builders, they saw the first flight Can you imagine being alive? I mean, of course, the media wasn't big then. It would have taken a while for the news to get out. But
which year, Morris? They,
well, the builders were about 1925, so they certainly were around before then. But commercial flight was just becoming a reality. They were seeing the beginning of radio, those kinds of things.
I mean, the early part of their lives was absolutely astounding. But they may have just been sucked into the Second World War.
And the first. So
25.
You know, there was this little thing. Yeah, 25. You're right, but they came at the tail end of it.
Ah, okay.
So when you look at the 25, you know, sorry, the builders, they're the generation that was seen to be the first that had the legacy of World War One. You know, thrifty parents,
right.
Times being rebuilt, all that kind of stuff. That was when the flappers and all that Art Deco stuff was happening.
Brilliant. I'm just trying to think of all the ups and downs of this now. It's such a crazy conversation to have, isn't it? Okay, they saw flight.
It is. So let's have a look at some of the stuff that's going to be around for them.
Go on.
I've talked about them being tech telepathy because there's a real strong reality. In fact, I think it's a certainty that they will live in a world that where it'll be really difficult to know where humans stop and where technology starts, meaning that they won't have mobile phones and the internet and things that we know because that'll all be dead and that'll be history. You know, that'll be grandpa were you alive in stuff, but they will have the next 12 iterations of that. Technology will be around them. I literally think they'll be living in a world where they will see holograms, where virtual reality will be ordinary, mixed reality will be ordinary, where they will be able to engage with technology really easily by talking to it and it talking to them. The stuff that we see in sci-fi will become ordinary world for them, which means the way that they interact with the world, the things that they see, the things that they know and the things that they do will be very, very different.
It's funny how sci-fi is, in fact, still the benchmark, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It absolutely is, because it's the only way that we can imagine it. You know, I use this benchmark. When I grew up, I had to memorize people's phone numbers and addresses. You had to, otherwise there was no way to know it now. And, you know, now most of us, can't remember one phone number.
Yeah.
And if we do, that's about it, one phone number.
Childhood phone numbers?
Yeah, I can remember my childhood phone number.
So can I, but everybody listening.
Don't ask me what my phone number is now, because I don't know. But... And that's quite what we're talking about. I think this Generation Beta will have a whole lot of stuff that we think we need to know and memorize and have at our fingertips totally in the cloud, totally available to them. They won't even have to worry about it. It will just come to them. That's why I think it's tech telepathy, that stuff, information, data will just flow around them. It'll be easily tapped into for them, and they will then have to work and study and live on top of that. And how that world lives will be a fascinating one. We're going to have to change our education system for them.
I was about to say, Morris, that is something that you and I really should do one day, schools.
Yeah, we absolutely should, because I've rabbited on for forever about the fact that schools really aren't all that great in putting out future citizens.
Yeah, we know that.
It works very much to a past system. You know, that's not to say schools are terrible, teachers are terrible, because they're not, both are wonderful. But the system itself is very antiquated. Mm. And if we are going to put out these people of the future who are literally only a year away, then we have to start getting our education system in a better shape for them, because memorizing for them is useless. I know the listeners are going to scream at this, and even I think it's a step too far. But, you know, stuff like writing is going to be different for them, because many of us now can't handwrite anymore. I can't tell you how few people can actually pick up a pen and write something that looks decent. But, again, not that long ago, it was part of being educated. You had to get... was it the same for you, Phil? We had to get a pen licence in grade 2 or 3.
Yeah.
A pen licence was something where you had to prove you could write. So your handwriting was legible enough, and then after a period of time you got literally a licence, and that was a big thing at school. It was kind of like a certificate to say that you'd mastered your penmanship.
Are we actually devolving, Morris?
No, I don't think we're devolving. I think we're changing.
Is this one symptom of humans sort of going retrograde?
Look, I think it's a symptom of humans going back to what humans do, because all the things we're talking about are artificial. Writing is artificial. It's a system that we develop so that we can communicate with each other. You know, do we need it? No, we just want to know what somebody's saying or thinking. If we can know what they're saying or thinking in a different way, is that necessarily bad? It's very different and very confronting, but is it bad? If we don't communicate by the way that we generally do, which is people in front of people, but we still communicate, is that bad? Again, I'd argue most probably not, but it's confronting and difficult for for us to realise.
Once again, I'm referring to an article. Morris has been writing his bottom off for the past few days. Welcome to the Biodigital Age, introducing Generation Beta, the next architects of our future. It's all at morrisfuturist.com. Sorry I interrupted you again, but can you take us to a couple of the juicier bits of this?
Yeah. So I've suggested in this article, as I've said, the background of why it's important that they're going to be such a large part of the population. I also talked about what, again, a term that I've put on this, which is the seventh sense. You know, we have our six senses that we talk about, you know, touch, sight, smell, all those kinds of things. I truly believe this generation will have a seventh sense, which will be about technology. They will just know, smell, taste, hear technology, and it will be a part of them. It'll be difficult for them to manage without. I don't think that's a good thing necessarily. So I'm not saying all of this is good. I'm just saying it's the world that we're creating and giving to them will likely do this. But one of the other things, because these to me are signals. So part of my work is trying to figure out the signals, what's going to happen in the future that we might be able to make sense of now. I began to look at the broader world, the politics that this generation might live in. Again, our Gen Bs living between now and 2039. Mm-hmm. And I began, when you look at the population changes over the period of time, because mass population changes the way the world sees itself, it's no longer America-centric. It's most probably, and at the moment, it's very China-centric because China has a very large voice. But what we're doing is moving into a world where China, India, and Africa are likely to be the three largest populations on the planet over the next 20 or 30 years. And because of their size and their volume and their GDP, in other words, the economic impact they're likely to have, what they see, think, feel, and need will rise very much in world population and the way that we produce products, services, and the way we think. And this generation, Generation B, will be one that's heavily influenced by those three nations, and that's different from anything we've ever seen before also.
That's incredible, and we are seeing signs of all the things you've been mentioning already.
Yeah, we are. So, Africa, for instance, which is a country, which is a continent that we often don't talk about and should, because it's a wonderful place with lots of innovation. But when we look at it for 2050, their population is going to be 2.8 billion. We only have at the moment 7 billion people on the planet. So 2.8 billion of that coming out of Africa by 2050 is a huge slice of people living on this planet. That's why, and it'll also be 20% of GDP, which is the economic measurement. So we're going to see, or they're going to see, a very different influence on the way the world sees itself, what it thinks is important, and also the people they interact with and where they're doing business and getting their cultural cues from.
It's great to talk about these things on a sort of macro level, but I bet you thought about it in relation to Australia, your place.
I have. So in Australia, what I've said is 2.4 billion in Australia, but we'll have 5.4 million of these little people running around by 2050. And again, that's a lot. Our population will be somewhere over 30 million by then. So that's a huge number. Our education system, as we've talked about, really isn't up to snuff on this at all. It will not be able to cope well with what we would like them to have as opportunities. It will put out wonderful people with great education. I'm just not convinced that it will point them in the right direction and give them all the tools they need. So I'm really concerned about that and going to be hammering that point quite a bit, in the conversations I have over the next few years. But also we also have this notion, though, of our taxation system and our revenue raising, which is also going to have to change because we are going to have populations that will not be working in the way we did before. These are likely not to be 9-to-5, Monday to Friday people. Many of them will because of the careers they choose, but most, I'd suggest, are not going to be. So their income production is going to be very different. We're going to have to be able to cope with that. The banks are going to have to work out how they're going to give loans to people, as they're already struggling to do, that don't have this structure. The homes that they live in will be different. They're likely not to get married until their late to mid-30s, most probably, at that age, at that generation. So we're going to see reproduction change here. There's all sorts of things that we will have to evolve if we're going to give them the world that's likely they'll want to have.
Back to the builders you mentioned earlier on, the generation that saw the advent of powered flight, etc., or man flight.
Yep, so they were 1925 to 1945.
Right, so the other great industry that they saw the birth of, I think, was the movie industry. So what is going to be the birth of that these guys see, do you think?
it'll be ASI, which is artificial superintelligence. It'll take us a while to get artificial intelligence that everybody's excited about now up and running. And I think by the time they're in school, remembering they're being born next year, so I'm giving us 5 to 10 years to get it right as we know it now. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get it right, we will then begin to supersede that. And what is being called the thing that is likely to be around in the 2030s and 40s is superintelligence. And superintelligence is where we believe technology will begin to be able to not think like humans, but begin to think less in a linear sense, less in 1 + 1 = 2, and more abstractly. And that's the next holy grail, a computer system that can think with a bit more abstract around it. That's likely to be the big technologies of their time.
I wonder if it will have the same impact further down the line as us saying, and they were there when man took to the skies, flight. I wonder if it'll be that wow factor.
I think it will be. You know, they'll definitely be asking, were you around when the internet was done? They will not know what a PC is. The mobile phone will be an absolutely stranger piece of obscuria for them. All these things that we now take for granted and have around us and want more of, they will just see as a relic that grandparents have.
Bovril. Take care, Maurice. I'll catch up with you next week. That's Maurice Misolowski, live from St Kilda in Melbourne. Stick around. Jared Watt will be with you after all the next bits.